Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Holy Gospel you've just heard is the basis of today's sermon. Please be seated. You hear this probably same story told a number of different ways, and even if it's not exactly the same person, you kind of realize that the evangelists are telling the same story, the paralytic on a mat. And whether it's Luke telling the story about how they broke through the ceiling of a house in order to lower the guy on the mat down in to see Jesus, or hear Jesus getting out of the boat and running into the paralytic who's there on a mat, and all the people around saying in their hearts, "Who is this guy who dares to forgive sins?" It's the same story. It's a story you find recurring throughout history, throughout our world, throughout our lives. After all, I was in the parish for 27 years. I constantly had to fight the battle, especially with those who were coming from the more Reformed traditions or Baptist traditions, saying, "Who is this guy who stands up in front of the service and dares to forgive sins?" It's just the way that our world works. But what we see in there isn't merely the forgiveness of sins, it's the Savior. And when he's delivered, the forgiveness of sins comes with him. And there's the most important thing that I'm going to say today. As the Savior is delivered, the forgiveness of sins comes with him, and with that is life and salvation. They bring the man on the mat to Jesus. And it says something interesting that a lot of people have trouble with. When he saw their faith, he said, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Same thing in Luke when he tells the story, same thing in Mark. When he sees their faith, or seeing their faith, or seeing his faith, depending on which evangelist you're following. Which leads me to an interesting thought that struck me like a brick across the head the first time I thought about it. You see, every time I read those stories prior to this, I thought, that guy really wants to be healed. He wants to be able to walk. His friends brought him there in order to be able to walk. But all three of the evangelists who record this story say, when he saw their faith, or when he saw his faith, maybe what he had come there for was really to get the forgiveness of sins. Because faith which receives Jesus receives first and foremost that which is eternal. Receives first and foremost that which can never be taken away. If Jesus heals the man and tells him to stand up and go about his business, not only does he go about his business, but he's going to get sick and die again. The forgiveness that Christ brings him is the one eternal thing that he'll have in his life, and the one thing that faith is ultimately going to receive and have forever. And as we who deliver good things to God's people should know beyond all else, if we make it our mission to bring them something other than the forgiveness of sins, we're not giving the greatest gift. We're not giving that which is going to last, that which is eternal. But it isn't only that the forgiveness of sins is to say that you speak remission for those things that have occurred in the past. In fact, you see Jesus doing things backwards in a lot of ways. For example, in Luke, when the man is lowered through the roof, he's going down to see God. That's not the way that you see God in the Bible, is it? You go up on a mountain to see God. You look up into heaven to see God. When you go to see God, you don't go down to see the guy hopping out of the boat. When you go to see God and you need to be forgiven, you don't expect a guy who's going to spit on your tongue and stick his fingers in your ears. When you go to see God to be healed, you don't expect a guy to make a paste out of spit and mud and rub it on your eyes and say, go wash now. Because when you expect to see God, you expect something that brings you into the heavens, something that's going to transform your world into a more glorious world. But you see, those who truly know God, those who truly have faith, understand that all of these things are hidden from our sight and are known only by revelation. It's only because God has spoken the word that we know that any of these things exist beyond what we see. Now, if we're going to know God, we're going to know this one who's down on the seashore, down in the house, down in the muck, making a paste of mud. We're going to see this one who sees this man laying there on a mat. Now, I believe the translation, the ESV, which you just read, says Jesus looks at him and says, "Son, your sins are forgiven." But he says something that you can overlook pretty quickly as you get to the big, bold part about the Pharisees doubting it in their hearts and all the other stuff. He says, in Greek, tharsai technon. Not son, child. And all of a sudden, all these pictures from all over the Bible come swarming in. And he held a little child in his arms and said, "Let the little children come to me and forbid them not, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. I tell you, anyone who would not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." Or when the disciples are debating about who's the greatest, he takes a little child and puts him in the midst of them and says, "This is the greatest of them all." He speaks about divine protection of the angels themselves for those who would abuse these children. "I tell you, anyone who causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a great millstone tied around his neck and tossed into the sea. For I tell you, their angels always stand before my Father's face." That he says to this one, technon, child, is to say more than any of us could ever say in a single word. And just as he knew the hearts of the Pharisees who were saying, "Who can forgive these sins?" He knew the heart and the need of the man who lay on the mat. Back when I was in seminary, one of the most memorable sermons that I remember came from one of my history professors, William Weinrich. And he was talking about visiting Bethesda Lutheran Home back when they had a residential center where people were still handicapped and living in the home. And he said there was this young man who had to be tied to his wheelchair because he had this disease or problem or mental illness or whatever you want to call it that made him literally rip chunks of flesh off of his body. Weinrich said, "I asked him, if Jesus could give you anything, what would you ask him for?" The man said, "Forgiveness." There's one eternal, one gift that never ends. Because when Jesus gives forgiveness, he gives himself. He gives his Father with him. He makes us eternal children who cannot be denied salvation because his blood has won it. His gift has given it. And nothing in heaven and on earth could take it away. And that's why that word tharsai, it's a rare word in the New Testament. Tharsai comes in. Because it's only spoken in times of great trouble and tribulation. It's often translated, take heart. I don't even know how to translate it in English the right way, but it just means that you've got to be courageous, but there's a reason for your courage. Things are going to turn out okay. And they will. Because he who can forgive sins can also order this world for the sake of his church, and has promised to do so. He who can forgive sins has promised that all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to their purposes, and he will fulfill that promise. He who can forgive sins has told you that neither life nor death nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come, nothing in all creation will be able to stand between you and your Savior and your Father, in whose house you will live eternally. And the gifts that he brings and the promise will be kept. And so as we wander through a world filled with increasing amounts of rabid hatred toward Christianity and atheism and sexual immorality and all kinds of vice, pandemics and disease and death and hardship and sorrow and midterms and finals or whatever else, this one who brings the forgiveness of sins comes to you and says, Tharsai technon, the child I grabbed to be mine in baptism is still my child. We share a father. We share a life that only the one who can forgive the sins, or forgive sins, raise the dead, and make the paralytic walk, the blind to see, the deaf to hear, the mute to speak. This one comes to you and calls you his child. This one comes and says, your sins are forgiven. In Jesus' name, amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.